The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hundreds of people have been detained in Northern Ireland for attempting to enter Britain. They've crossed the border into the north from south of the border, and it appears that gangs are offering packages that they term as safer than crossing the English Channel, and they're charging high prices for that service. Now, to tell us more about this, we're joined by Lisa O'Carroll, Acting Ireland Correspondent with The Guardian. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
This is not just happening in Ireland. There is something of a pan-European effort here.
Yeah, the people smugglers are obviously very, very active and have been for years, as we know from the activities in Calais. And, you know, the operation up in Northern Ireland this week and Manchester, Liverpool airports in Holyhead and Lough Ryan in Scotland are not entirely unconnected to what's going on in Europe. So these gangs that are operating might be operating in Germany, in France, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, but also in Turkey and further afield, for example, in Iraq. So Europol have told us on a number of occasions this year that they believe that the Kurdish Iraqis control people smuggling in Calais. And this week there was a massive swoop in Germany involving 500 police officers and in France, which resulted in a number of arrests, seizures of boats, car, money, etc. So the operation in Northern Ireland is linked because people smugglers are always looking for new ways to get to the UK or to get to Germany. Germany is another big destination country. So obviously the common travel area doesn't have a border between Northern Ireland and Ireland, and that's been exploited at the moment. And that's what Operation Canby, as they call it, up in Northern Ireland this week was all about.
OK, so we always knew that there was a potential backdoor into Britain when Brexit happened, that Ireland remains within the EU. We have this porous border with Northern Ireland. It's not controlled. It's free movement across the border. We always knew potentially that anyone who made their way from within the EU to us, part of the EU, could have open access really to Northern Ireland and hence to Britain. That was always on the cards.
Yes, in fact, that was always the case beforehand. But this operation is called Operation Combi, was part of a much, much longer standing operation between the Northern Ireland authorities and the Gardaí, which is called Operation Gull. And not a lot of information is released publicly about Operation Gull, but it would have pre-Brexit focused on non-EU citizens who were coming into Dublin to try to get into the UK. So there would have been hundreds every year who are caught under that operation.
Now, when Britain was in the EU, in a sense, anyone who managed to get into the EU potentially could get to Britain. But of course, once Britain exited the EU, there was another hurdle for those people to clamber across. But the big question...
But Ireland, is in this special position. So if you go into the UK, you're from Nigeria, for example, you need a visa of some sort, whether it's a tourist visa or a work visa. So if you've been rejected, and this would have happened with Operation Gull, you've been rejected, you can't get into Heathrow. You come to Ireland and then you go through. So it's not really to do with free movement. And I think what Brexit has done is broadened the pool of people, including EU citizens, who may have had what they call adverse experiences at border control in the UK, who may have been asked to leave voluntarily and come to Ireland, then go up to Belfast. And that's what we saw happening this week when I went up there with a photographer with the Home Office.
So the issue, therefore, is people who are bent on getting into to Britain and using Ireland as their conduit and the border. The question is, how are they getting into Ireland undetected, as it were? I mean, they're passing, obviously, our immigration controls and getting through.
Well, that is the question for the Gardaí, isn't it? But the Home Office have said they're working very, very closely. They have a very, very good working relationship with the Gardaí, and that this operation, which was launched last April, and there have been five sort of ad hoc swoops on airports and ports in Northern Ireland since last April, that they will test this theory as to whether people, smugglers, are operating at any scale coming into Dublin, and will pass that information back to the Gardaí. And likewise, the Gardaí will pass information up to the Northern Ireland authorities. So what they told us this week was the reason they invited the press to join them was that this is an overt operation. It's designed to raise awareness, to make the people smugglers know that, you know, they're being watched and that there are risks attached. And also, ultimately, you know, the chap we met, he was talking about, you know, ultimately could lead to policy change. That I'm not sure, because, you know, Ireland absolutely is committed to having an invisible order, border. But, you know, in other cases, in other instances, it did lead to policy change.
And the question then about those checks at a seaport, at Belfast or Larne, whatever it might be, or at an airport, you know, the whole argument, particularly from the DUP, about not wanting to show a passport when you're moving between two parts, as they see it, of their own country. I mean, what is the nature of the checking that's done at those seaports if, you know, they're not supposed to be demanding passports?
Yeah, so the checks happened before the boarding gates. So just a couple of immigration officers on the look for people who look suspicious. So on both occasions, there were people detained that we witnessed. Both men looked nervous, and immediately an Iranian was stopped with a Ukrainian passport. His story kind of fell apart quite quickly, where there was lots of other, nobody else was asked to show their passport. So what they say is they're looking for adverse behaviour.
Yeah, okay. And that gives them
racial profiling.
They have the justification. If they see adverse behaviour, they have the justification to stop and question. Now, this particular Iranian who was masquerading as a Ukrainian, and they were suspicious about the quality of the Ukrainian passport. It was counterfeit, as it turned out. But he had come from Barcelona to Dublin. So he'd already made his way to Barcelona, and then he manages to get through with this fake Ukrainian passport. He gets into Ireland and moves on, bent on Britain.
That's right, yeah. So what the authorities told us that they have the powers to take his phone, look through his phone, see whether anybody else had been with him that day, whether somebody else had gone into the airport before him, who dropped him off, what CCTV would show, what the phone would show, will the show that his passage had been paid for by people smugglers, will it show who he stayed with or who met him in Dublin Airport. So, you know, as the immigration enforcement guy said to us, it was low-hanging fruit that might lead to more fruit, which might lead to people smuggling gang. You know, all the authorities around Europe are working together. And what this guy thought also was that maybe this might show, but they would test it, where the Ukrainian passports could now be used as a kind of softer document than, say, another EU citizen's passport.
Because unless a Ukrainian coming into Ireland seeks the help of the state, they can actually come in since the war began, I think. And they can say, we've got family here, and off they go, never to be seen again under this fake Ukrainian passport. And that's presumably the theory. Do we know what the smugglers are charging people for this so-called safer service?
Yes, the immigration authorities told us that they were charging between 5,000 and 8,000 euros. That would include an airfare from Europe, so that would be a couple of hundred euros, say. Accommodation if needed in Dublin, 400 they were charging for a taxi up to Belfast, and then they would also look after their ticket in the UK to whatever destination they were going to. So, you know, if maximum calculation would cost about 1,000 euros, so they're making 5,000-6,000 euros profit. So it's a very, very lucrative business. And, you know, even if there was a gang operating in Dublin or a gang operating in the UK or Germany directing people to Dublin, they're going to be very, very difficult to smash, because once you close down one cell, another one will quickly emerge somewhere else.
And I presume it's money up front from the hapless migrant who's trying to get into Britain. When they're caught, they don't get their money back.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting then, so this is a business that is has grown up. The question is, how much safer is it? And that'll depend on the effectiveness of this particular operation. Because there are so many other opportunities to be caught, you know, when the airline checks your boarding card against your passport and so on when you're about to board the plane. Then you arrive in Dublin, and the likelihood is nowadays that you'd be stopped at the steps of the plane by a member of An Garda Síochána. Then you get through and you're with a taxi man who might see it in his or her interest to squeal on you. And then you get across the border. You might be checked somewhere along the way. And finally at the ferry port. It's safer in physical terms. I'm not sure it's more guaranteed than crossing the channel in a dinghy.
Well, I suppose there are two types of people who want to get into Europe, any country in Europe. There are those who really, really want to claim asylum, and there are those who want to get into the UK via Ireland or via a small boat. And as the immigration authorities told us, and also, you know, UN, I interviewed the head of the UN Migration Organization earlier this year, and she said that these people smugglers, say, for example, in Central America, they operate like travel agents. They're literally on the road with kiosks going, you can pay $2,000 for this route, $3,000 for that, $4,000 for this. Mm-hmm. So the Home Office told us that they believe that the channel crossings are the lower end. They're cheaper. Then you have something like the Irish backdoor, and then you have clandestine activity through lorries. You know, the first and the latter of those are really dangerous.
Yeah. A final question from one of our listeners. Are some of these people crossing back into the UK because there's a new government there, the Labour government? They may feel they will not be sent to Rwanda now.
I guess that is a question, yeah, that you have to ask those migrants. But I think a lot of the reason people want to go to the UK is A, it's English speaking. B, it's very much more difficult to work on the black market than it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago. But they have family there.
Yeah.
Family have already got there, there's communities, and you can disappear. And they want a better life. You know, these people who are trying to get into the UK or Ireland are coming because they're desperate.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, thank you very much for joining us. Lisa O'Carroll, Acting Ireland Correspondent with The Guardian.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.